It's a step-by-step plan to get from where someone currently is in their work life to where they want to be. And there are, for each step, there are little scenarios that start out with kind of fictional characters setting the stage, and then a lot of questions and activities. So someone working their way through it, they have a pencil, a pen, or open a computer file, can work their way through. At the end of each step, there's a Mad Lib fill in the blank where you're really writing out your story. So by the time you finished, you really have written out your story, and now all you really have to do is do it.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bowerb Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Judy Shenouda. Judy, what's up? How are you today?
I'm great. And it's so nice to be here with you this morning and all of our friends in the Rochester and beyond community. So hi.
Yeah, I'm excited. You are a business owner. You're a publisher. Ultimately, you're an author, and you're an effective, you're just an awesome, effective communicator in a very, you know, written realm. Reading your website, I'm compelled. And I'm interested to hear about how ultimately your business helps other businesses communicate. But beyond that, every one of us as individuals, we're all communicating all the time. And so effective communication, even if you're not a business owner, this can be in your emails, this can be in your Facebook messages, everything. So I'm sure you're a wealth of information. But I want to give you, Judy, the opportunity to introduce yourself and your business. What exactly do you do at your company?
My company's name is Shenouda Associates Incorporated. I've been at it now for, 35 years.
Congrats.
Thank you. And that was not my first endeavor. My background was in education and communications. I have a degree from the Newhouse School in public communications and then taught for a long time. When I taught, I discovered what I really, really liked the best was preparing material for the students, because I thought I did it much, much better than the material that I was being handed. So I was able to kind of leverage that skill as time went on into a business where we provide the documentation that accompanies many, many products and services. People may know it as technical writing. We write the manuals, and people sometimes say, oh, how boring. It is not boring. This is work that I've loved doing. So the business, our clients generally have products. And the products, they might need user guides, you know, so your typical how to unpack this, how to assemble it, how to install it, how to make sure the software is up and running correctly, and to do all of the tasks that a user would do.
Judy,
or the service provider would do.
I'm supposed to read those manuals. I usually just spend 2 hours trying to figure it out on my own.
Well, a lot of people are like you, Ben, and they say, oh, we never read that stuff. Well, some of this stuff is not worth reading, because if it's not done well, you might as well not read it. Or if it's filled with mistakes, why bother? Many manuals, though, will have the graphics that will go with it. So for somebody who, like you, Ben, is visual, probably just glancing at the illustrations might do it. But then there are others like me who, before I'm going to assemble or try to repair something, I read it from start to finish because I need to have a roadmap, and then I'll tackle it. So that's the nature of what the business does. It's providing the documentation for whoever the audience might be.
I love that. And it is massively important. I have read manuals, and it needs to be seamless, or I get overwhelmed quickly if I'm struggling and the manual doesn't seem clear or concise to me. How ultimately do we connect you in Rochester or across the world with the right clients? Like, what kind of people really need your service? And maybe they don't even know they need it yet.
It varies. I mean, the skill set can be applied to small businesses who maybe just have one product, or maybe they need guidelines for employees, so an employee handbook. Maybe it's marketing material. It could be a case study. So there are small pieces that maybe a small business or entrepreneur would need. But probably most typical for us would be large companies that have a number of products and a number of versions. So they need a dedicated staff to really do all of the documentation. And there's a skill set involved. You might have an engineer who might provide a draft. Maybe he'll give you the theory and give you an idea of how it works. But the engineer isn't the person who's really going to love taking everything that he or she knows about a product and culling it down for somebody who only needs a small percentage of it. So those would be the right kinds of customers. Those with a department, generally they have employees in a group that do that, or they may outsource it, or they may use us to support their staff. I mean, we got a call recently where the major technical writer was leaving a group, and until they could hire somebody else, we were able to fill in because we had helped this same client through the years. So we knew the products and could really step in seamlessly.
Yeah, that's important to have someone who can step in seamlessly and work on things that maybe I struggle at. You're a published author, and I want to ask questions about, publishing a book of my own. But first, let's talk about your book. Let's talk about that process and introduce that. So I haven't read it yet, I have to be honest, but I have it on my Amazon list here. So I need to buy it and read it. But let's introduce it to everyone who hasn't heard of it yet.
Well, there are three of them, Ben. I have three books. I just happen to have them with me, so I'll kind of share with you. This first one is called, I don't know if you can see it easily.
Yeah, Career Success in 12 Steps.
In 12 Easy Steps. This I call Guided Journaling. And it's a step-by-step plan to get from where someone currently is in their work life to where they want to be. And there are, for each step, there are little scenarios that start out with kind of fictional characters setting the stage. And then a lot of questions and activities. So someone working their way through it, they have a pencil, a pen, or open a computer file, can work their way through. At the end of each step, there's a Mad Lib fill in the blank where you're really writing out your story. So by the time you finished, you really have written out your story. And now all you really have to do is do it. So that's the first book. And my team through Chanute Associates is in the process now of turning that into an e-learning tool. So, we'll make that available probably on our website. And I'm looking forward to getting that off and running as well. So Ben, that's book number one.
That's right up my alley. I journal every morning, and that's a great way to, direct my entries to ultimately. Wow. I imagine by the end of that book, I'm writing inside it the entire time, and you have a whole, new sense of direction in your business or in your life after a process like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've always carried it around. We're into a second edition now.
Wow.
I would carry the book with me. I'm still, you know, I like the pencil, I like an eraser. And if something would come up during the course of my day that I wanted to remember, I had it all in one compact place to kind of do my own doodling. And it's been fun and it's been helpful doing that.
What are the other two books, Judy?
Oh, well, they're all different. The nice thing about this kind of business is I was able to apply the skills that I use for my business to doing fun projects for myself. So the second one, kind of interesting. Can you see that? But okay, Ben.
Abyssal of this,
abyssal of that, eating our way. So Thistle is a little of this, a little of that. And it's a compilation of many of the old time family recipes that my grandmother made, that my aunts made, that, you know, we wanted to save and pass along. So the first cousins in our family, one cousin in particular, had this idea. She had lived with my grandmother and had all of her recipes. So one day when asking her for a particular recipe, she said, why don't we just make a cookbook? So we collected all the recipes and the stories that went with them, and I was able to put this into a family cookbook. So that's book number two. And this is book
number three.
This is Living Well in Froggy's World of Plenty, Sweet Talk to Read Aloud. So this, I call it a family book because adults can benefit from it. They'll get much more of the message behind each story than a child would. But children will have fun with the characters, Mr. Tree, Wiggly, Froggy, Flutterby. There are flash stories. They're just a couple of pages long. And the idea for the book started kind of on, well, it was 2016, leap year day. And I kept thinking about Froggy and his ward and a leap of faith. And but then the idea came that Froggy lives in a world where there are no warts. And what would that world look like? And the wart is symbolic of any irritation that anybody has in their life. And so through the characters and the way that they live together in a community, many of these warts do dissipate. So I wanted to see if I could use language beyond the restricted language that I'm often required to do in technical documents.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I've got this butterfly feeling of these books just seem like they'd be a tremendous read. And the way your covers and if you're listening to the audio, anyone, and not seeing the video, go to the video version, because the way the cover art's done and the titles, I just think you're doing an awesome job, because as someone with a technical writing background, it seems like these books are very easily digestible by anyone and can be a ton of fun for the whole family, it sounds like.
They're fun. And I think what I'm most proud of is these three books have been done totally within my small organization. I mean, the very first version of the Career Success book, I wanted to learn the independent publishing process. That was my goal. And there were skills that I needed to have someone else use. So I needed a graphic designer who took the Word file and put it in InDesign. I needed an artist to do the cover. I needed somebody to help me through how do you publish through some of these online sites. But after the first edition of book one, everything else we've been able to do, cover design, layout, all of it within our business. In fact, I just finished doing a book for a physical therapist who is writing a book on the importance of movement, especially as we get older and older. And many of us staying home this past year have been sitting far too much. So she had the manuscript, and within my team, we were able to do everything. She just told me this weekend, I sent her the final files, one for the interior and one for the cover. So she has ordered through KDP, that's Kindle Direct Publishing, a review copy of her book, and then she'll have it available for all of her clients. So it's a lot of fun. I think what I've learned is what I've done for the business, I can do for myself and I can do for others. And variety is good.
Yeah, it keeps it interesting. Variety is good. And there's a lot of people that are super talented at what they do and have so much to say and probably could write a book, but maybe they're nervous to write one or they don't know where to start. We could do a 3-hour podcast just on publishing, but let's just ask one general question to get people started. Where do I start? Do I just start writing down on a piece of paper one day? Do I need to look at my target market? What's the beginning step that I can take?
I think first you start with inspiration. You know, there's something in you that's looking for a way to become visible. So carry something around and just start scribbling and scribbling and scribbling and let it lead you. As far as the mechanics of doing the book, there are many coaches and many websites, you know, and for the right price, you could pay people and you could have a co-author. So, you know, you could decide on what parts you can do independently and what parts you need help with. But it's your story. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to you to be the inspiration for it. And then to move it along. There are writers groups, you know, that meet, and you can always form a writers group.
I like that. You know, find the inspiration and be your own inspiration. And then there's other people that can help you along the way. It doesn't have to be hard. If you're passionate about it, sounds like you can help people get it done.
It's And of course there's Writers and Books here locally that has lots of courses for people to take. So there are many, many ways to do it. And I think the nice thing about independent publishing, which is the way that I did. I mean, certainly you can find a traditional publisher or try to find one. But in my case, I tried that with the first book. And after a year of, I sent it to 3 publishers. And a year later, I had 3 rejections. And a colleague said, you've written all of these technical manuals. Why don't you just go and write your own book, which right. is what I did. But, you know, you learn the process and you know, if you're not thrilled with it, once it's out, there's a first edition, will you just create a second edition? You know, you kind of keep going and improve it. One of my books, I've been thinking the Living Well in Froggy's World of Plenty. Currently, it's all words, but it really lends itself to visuals. So I'm really, really interested in trying to explore how can I start to do some doodling and drawing and make it visually more appealing. And at the same time, I think in words. I don't think that much graphically, and I learn in words. I mean, I like outlines and not necessarily pictures, but I want to stretch my brain to a more visual graphic function. So, you know, I can do another version of it. So I think that's the idea, Ben, that no matter what somebody is doing, whether it's a book or a woodworking project or a website or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be perfect and it won't be perfect, no matter how many times you do it. So you just keep doing it.
Right. And I think it's impressive. I mean, there's something to be said that you think in words, you're a writer, you've honed that skill set where you've mastered that. But that doesn't mean you can't bring in visual elements and learn that as well. A lot of people are still honing their skill set. I'm wondering, like, when you realized that you were a good writer, you loved to write, like, were you the 3-4-year-old that was writing as soon as they got a chance? So 3-year-olds, right? Maybe a little bit, but were you like that young kid writing from the moment that they picked up a pencil? Or was that a skill set you kind of honed later in life? Like, where did this talent come from?
I was not the 3-year-old who did that. But, you know, I know my mother tells me that I was always talking. you know, so she said, Judy, you spoke and you walked earlier. I'm one of five. She said, then all of the rest of them. And so I guess I'd like to move and I like to talk and I like to listen and I like to be among people. And so I think the communication aspect was always there. I was a very reluctant reader, you know, like a good girl. I thought I had to read every word. And by the time I would finish something, I didn't even know what I read. And it would take me forever. So it took me a long time, although I certainly made up for it at some point in time because I'm an avid reader and in a nonfiction book club where we read big books every month. And I seem to get through them without any difficulty. The writing, I think, you know, I can sort of think of a fifth grade teacher making a comment on a report card about my writing. So I think that I got encouragement. You know, the encouragement is important too. When I think of coming home from school every day, my mother would ask me, you know, what did I do? And she would be in the kitchen and I would read her everything. And she was the type of mom that anything her children did was absolutely wonderful. Very, very non-critical, non-judgmental. And so I think that that kind of encouragement, you get better at what you do when people are noticing it and saying good things about it. So I think that's true of anything that any of us do. The business folks who are listening to this or watching it, I think we all need to keep in mind that a little bit of encouragement for those around us can go a very, very long way.
Yeah, some encouragement, positive feedback goes a long way. And that's great. I mean, I'm wondering, you already said you're reading robust nonfiction books on a monthly basis in this book club. What else do you do to stay chipper? You know, what else do you do to continuously learn in your role? It seems like you are a lifelong learner. And I'm wondering what else you do that we could learn from.
Well, this past year, for many of us, has been a challenge because we haven't gotten out as much as we're used to. And there aren't that many places that we've been able to go. So the lifelong learning, the book club, we've been meeting via Zoom once a month. And so that's been great because, you know, you read a book and then you're with people who you've known for a while through the book club. Ours is through the Pittsford Library. So we have somebody on the library staff who gets the Zoom meeting up and running, but it's been great. Our meeting Monday night, our book was about Satchel Paige. And so I'm not a sports fan or a baseball person, but sure. I loved the book. And there were people in the group who knew a lot about the sport and a lot about Satchel Paige and the challenges that he faced in baseball. So the reading has been great. Every month I meet, I have been for a number of months, with some colleagues. We'd have a breakfast meeting and we would share information, not just about work, but we'd get into, you know, what are you doing and what are you doing? And we've also now continued to meet monthly via Zoom. And it's been a good way just to stay in touch because some months, not everybody is feeling very productive. And we would talk about it's not always easy to be productive when you don't have, you know, people around you working and seeing them productive. So doing that, I'm a Mahjong player.
Okay.
So I really, really missed playing that every week with the group because the group just didn't want to meet. But one person would. And so that's been a weekly kind of an activity that I've enjoyed. And I think I mentioned that I was working on the book from the physical therapist all about movement. So in most recent months, as I've been reading that book every day around 3 o'clock, I would just stop. And if the weather allowed, I would be outside and walking. If it didn't allow, yeah. I found a few YouTube things that kind of got me up and moving. So, and I'm active in the Technical Writers Group, Society for Technical Communication. I did a webinar for them last week called The Making of a Book, an E-Learning Companion. And the Rochester chapter has a seminar every year. This will be our second year of this one being done virtually. And with one of my employees, we're talking about the myths of working at home from the perspective of the baby boomer and her perspective of a millennial with young children running around. So it'll be kind of an interesting way of saying, no, you can't stay, you know, in your bathrobe or pajamas all day. No, you're not sitting just eating bonbons. No, you can't just do whatever you feel like doing. If you're working, you're working. So we're going to get into some of that as well. That's coming up soon.
Yeah, I'm so thankful that I've worked really hard, crappy jobs in the past where I learned how to work. Where now that I'm in my office, this is a green screen. I wish this was actually my home. I'm in my office and it's hard to stay as focused when you're at home working. And it's not as simple. I'm wearing joggers right now. I'm not wearing slacks. It's not as simple as just rolling out of bed and starting. You still need to get a lot done. That's still very important that you accomplish good work. And I think it's important for young people to realize that. I want to digress really quickly, Judy, because we'll have this conversation offline. But do you know the Mahjong player Sue Albert?
No, I don't.
I'm going to introduce you to her. It's my grandmother, and she's the one who's probably going to take all your money because she loves Mahjong and she's very good at it. And I joke, they usually throw $5, $10 in when they play, but she's been obviously not playing as much either, but I want to make that introduction because Mahjong's a fun game and she's a rock star at it.
It's a great game. And I mean, I'm at the stage too where I want to keep my brain engaged.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've pretty much mastered the card for this year because there's only been two of us playing and we play with a double rack. So we're really challenged. You know, we have to pick two hands for every game. So I'm ready for the new card. But I like it because, first of all, it's not words. It's really pattern recognition. So, you know, in a field like mine, we've really had to pay attention to the many, many different ways that people take in information. And it's not the same way that it might not be the way that our dominant pattern is. Mine is words and organization and outline. So patterns are important. Pictures are important. So all of these seem to work together for good.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to make that introduction so you have someone else to play in Mahjong. And I love connecting, you know, to people in Rochester. You've served the community for a long time now. How long have you lived in Rochester?
I've lived in Rochester more than I've lived any other place. So I'd have to kind of count. It's more than 40 years, that's for sure. I grew up in Syracuse, still my home, and siblings are there. And went to undergraduate work in Buffalo, and then a year in New York City. And then moved back to Syracuse and then found my way after I finished my master's program at the Newhouse School, found my way to a job here in education and I stayed.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. And I want to ask you this question because there's so much great about Rochester and there's so many challenges as well. I'm wondering, you know, whether it's something really, really great or something that you think is a challenge or that we can change. Give us a little bit of perspective on Rochester in terms of your thoughts on the city as a whole and maybe some great things about it or even some challenges.
I think that Rochester offers a lot. Regardless of what your interest is, you can find outlets for it, that's for sure. So it's a very manageable city. In the days when I was driving back and forth to client sites, I don't think it took me more than 20 minutes to get to just about any place I needed to be. So that was great. I had an idea. I don't know if this was just an idea I had, something that I was looking for and didn't find. So maybe out there someone can pick up on it. But I'm a book person. And so I've always thought about going to book fairs. And if I'm in a city that has one, I happened to be in DC a few years ago when the book fair was taking place on the mall. And, you know, I could go from tent to tent and hear, you know, best-selling authors do their presentations. I love that. And here in Rochester, there have been some book events and book fairs, but I thought there are so many authors. We've invited some of them to our book club, local authors who are really renowned. And then there are independently published who just love what we're doing and we write about it. I thought, why couldn't we get some kind of a bus or van where we take our authors to these book events and participate in them? So I don't know, maybe somebody up there has an idea, a travel agency, of how we could put something like that together.
I would love to make that happen. We'll get a travel agency on board. I'd love to be part of marketing and implementation. I think it's a great idea. We're going to have to talk offline, or we're going to have to film another podcast. I think it's a great idea.
We'll do. We'll need people to think about it with us, because there are lots of different approaches to doing this. I mean, that's where, Ben, it's outside of my skill set, but I think would fill a need if those of us could just hop on a bus and take our traveling show on the road and share more of Rochester with the outlying community and world.
Sounds like a ton of fun.
Yep.
I love it. I want to be very lighthearted, move into the rapid fire round, short, sweet, either or fill in the blank questions. Just to get to know Judy a little bit better. How does that sound?
Okay.
I like to start with coffee or tea?
Coffee in the morning, then afternoon tea, green tea, herbal tea.
Absolutely.
I've got to have that strong cup of coffee first.
Got it. And are you a cat person or a dog person?
Neither. I am not an animal person.
All right. Are you a morning person?
Definitely. Crack of dawn. I got that from my dad. He was up at the crack of dawn in a household with five young kids and somebody like me who wanted to study. I'd hear him at 4 a.m. I'm up with him. And I did my homework then.
I'm the opposite. I'm a night owl. It's that's why you got to surround yourself with people that have different, you know, skill sets than you. Mm-hmm. You can get up early and I'll stay and I'll work late.
Right.
What about a favorite season? Where spring is here.
I like all of the seasons, probably winter. The shorter it is and the more mild it is, the better for me. But as long as it's warm enough to be outdoors and walking, I'm happy. And I like the colors.
Yeah, I do too. We'll do a couple more. I'm curious, have you transferred over to ebooks, or do you still always read the traditional hardcover?
It depends. I prefer to read the hardcover, but I will read an ebook, especially if it's the only way I can get a hold of the book. I just had a book on hold at the library and it took forever for me to get it. So in a case like that, I'm better off with the ebook. I don't have to wait as long.
I like that. Yeah, I transfer it to ebooks, but then the last few books I've read have been hardcovers, and there's something tangible about holding it that I don't think I can ever let go. We'll see. I'm wondering, longer answer, if you could choose 1, 2, 3 books to recommend to a reader, is there any books that kind of just come to mind as great books to, let's say I haven't read much in a while and I want to be inspired by an incredible book, fiction or non. Does anything come to mind?
There was one book that we read in our book club this year called, I think it was called These Truths by a Historian. It was 900 pages, so it took me a long time to go through it.
Wow.
It's the history of these United States and these truths that we hold self-evident from start to finish. And it was fabulous.
Wow.
So I would say pick up a good history because, you know, we've been in the midst of such crazy, crazy times that it's not always easy to understand or to see that what's happening may seem like an anomaly, but if you read the history, things begin to make more sense. So I would suggest anything like that that gives folks a longer view of life. So I think I would recommend something like that.
I love that.
Yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that, Ben. That would be a good recommendation.
That's three books in one if it's 900 pages. So we'll start there.
That's exactly right.
Anything that I should have asked you if I had known a little bit more about Judy and, you know, your business, your life, anything that we should have touched on that you want to add?
The only thing that I would say, Ben, is it's important to be the kind of person that you want to be and that other people want to have on their side and on their team. So what's important to me is giving, generosity. I think I had mentioned earlier the generosity of encouraging someone. So for people to step outside of themselves a little bit more, go a little bit further, do a little bit more, be a little bit more, you don't need to hesitate. Just step forward.
Step forward. What an amazing way to end, Judy. You've been amazing. People are probably wondering, we haven't said yet, how do they get in touch with you? Whether it's the website, the email, the phone number, LinkedIn, Facebook, where do you hang out the most? Where can we reach out to you online?
Well, I'm on all of them, but probably the best one would be the website because the contact page has all of those that you mentioned listed.
There you go.
Yeah. So the website is easescommunication.com. Eases, E-A-S-E-S, communication, no S, .com. And go to the contact page and you'll be able to connect with me.
Easescommunication.com. Judy, you're a wealth of knowledge. We'll do a second episode so we can, okay. We could probably do three or four because we can dive into publishing. We can dive into how to become a technical writer. There's so many conversations to be had. So I'll reach out to you. People at home, reach out if you have questions. And thanks again for coming on the show, Judy. I've had a lot of fun with you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. And be well, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.